Father, this morning we just come before your presence and we just declare that you are great and you are mighty. God, we thank you for the very breath that you've given us, God, so that we can give it back to you. We thank you for joining us in this place, and we pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word this morning. God, speak to our hearts and have your way in our service. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you sing and worship the Lord, look beyond the screens, and in your mind, in your heart, picture Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Picture the throne, green emerald circle surround the throne. Picture a sea of glass in front of him, all the people of the ages. Picture all the martyrs underneath the throne, everyone that has died because of their faith in Jesus. Consider the beings flying around, the seraphim, the cherubim. Think about all of that as you sing, but look beyond the screens. The screens are just there to give you the words. And think about this, you know, when Philip leads us and the team leads us, he's given us a one voice. That's how you do that. It's a one voice. It's all of us together focusing on our Lord and saying to him these words, rejoicing in him, celebrating in him, worship him, declaring to him who we believe that he is. And that's worship in using congregational singing. But go beyond the screens. Don't let the screens be the object of your worship. That screen ain't done nothing for nobody. Right? It's just a screen. It's a book that's fancy. And sing beyond that to the Lord God. God the Father on his throne, Jesus at his right hand, the Lamb who was slain, who ascended at the right hand of the Father in the place of all authority. Look beyond the screen and speak to him. And the reason why we have these songs and we all sing the same way for the unison is so that it's laser beam focusing on the Father. Amen? If you're sitting by somebody that's not singing, get over there close to them. Nudge on in. Sing loud. Talk to them about singing. Right, Ryan? You'll never sit by me again, will you? He sang after a while. You started coming on. You got to let go. And don't sing to the screens. Isn't that what I told you? Said, sing to God. And we described him, and he started coming on a little bit. So you'll be sitting here next week leading the way, brother. Good? Amen? God bless you and all that live in your house. All right. My name is Lee Brewer, and I'm a broken, weak, sinful man. I am. I testify to you tonight, to this morning. I'm a broken, weak, sinful man. I have broken every one of the Ten Commandments in my life. Every single one of them. You probably are wondering right now, then if you've broken all 10, you start to do an inventory, how come I'm not in jail? I'll explain that to you. How can I be a pastor? If I've broken every single one of the Ten Commandments, how can I be a pastor? I'll explain that. So listen good. Listen up. The truth is, we are all broken, sinful, weak people. Every single one of us. None of us are 80%ers of the Ten Commandments. There might be one or two, maybe there's one or two 80%ers, but most of us probably have broken all of them at one time or another. And the crazy thing is, if you're sitting there thinking, well, that's not me, then you're probably broken beyond repair already. I mean, you're not beyond repair, but you need repair. That's what I meant to say. We're all broken. Malachi chapter 4. Let's have a look at this. Let's see what we're going to make of this. Verse 4. Remember. So the Lord is beginning to summarize this message to the Israelites. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai. Your translation might say Mount Horeb. It's the same place. Him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. So in the book of Exodus, it tells us a story of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. And he goes up on the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments. And he's on Mount Sinai and he has that. And it's important to God, obviously, because God says, remember. And so we need to really focus on why he's telling us to remember to obey the law of Moses. First of all, why did God tell us to remember the law of Moses? What's so important about the Ten Commandments? Well, the Ten Commandments are important for society. Very important. God knew that man would destroy himself without these commandments. And if you think about it, the laws of our land, all the laws of most people in the world today is based somewhat on the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, you don't kill, you don't steal, you don't lie, those kind of things. Our society is based on those boundaries. These Ten Commandments are very important for unbelievers, especially the bottom six, when it has to do with how you relate with each other. We know that when children no longer honor their mother and father, we've got problems. We know when children kill, steal, and destroy, we got problems, right? We know that when there's a violation of the laws about how we are to treat each other, there is just craziness. And oftentimes in communities, different places in our world today, there's nothing but craziness because there's no boundaries. There's only lawlessness. And that's going to increase as time goes on. The Ten Commandments also need to be remembered, and you need to see this, and we'll explain this a little more further, I hope, is that the Ten Commandments cannot make us right with God. That's important for us to know. The Ten Commandments cannot make us right with God. And since that's true, we know that only one person who has ever lived on this earth did not break one of these commandments, and that person is Jesus. He is the only one. So only Jesus has that right to judge, because only he hadn't broken any of them. But the rest of us, none of us are innocent of not breaking one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. You want to look there with me? We'll see as we go through these. No gods before God. We shall not make any idols by our hands. We are not to create idols to worship. Now, some people get hung up on the creation part of this, which is kind of an interesting conversation. But the point of the matter is, back then, they made idols to worship. Today, we buy idols to worship. Same thing. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Now, that is when, now people say that means cussing with the Lord's name in the cussing, blankety blank blank. That's not what that primarily means. However, don't cuss using the Lord's name. I mean, that's just part of it. But what this means is that we use language, we use terms, we view God in a way that lowers who God is. Right? We take the Lord's name in vain when we say someone is Jesus, because only Jesus is Jesus. That happened this past week in politics. No. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. I shouted at the TV station. No. Don't say that. That's not right. And that's what that means. And so when you use terms like the old man upstairs, you use terms like, you know, I got a homeboy in Jesus, you know, and things like that that seem to be popular today, that's very close to taking the Lord's name in vain, not in the words that are used, but in the intent of it, because we're taking Jesus less than he should be taken. He is Almighty God. We are not to take the Father lightly. We are not to take Jesus lightly. We're not to take the Holy Spirit lightly, but to give them the awe and the respect and the honor that they're worthy of. We are to keep the Sabbath holy. We are to keep the Sabbath holy. We are to have that day in the week where it is separate for the Lord. It's a day to where we focus on Him. We rest in Him. We relax in Him. It's a time of worship. It's a time of just focus on Him. Now, the first four commandments have to do with our vertical relationship with God. The first four have to do with man's relationship with God. Okay? Now, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in his response to that, he responded giving our responsibilities in these first four. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, there's no gods before God in your life. There's no idols that you're bowing down to. You're not using the Lord's name in vain when you're loving God with all your heart. And when you're keeping the Sabbath holy, then you're loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And you're recognizing that God has created you, that you need one day each week to completely rest in Him. It's probably a good time these days, and here we are using the phone and giving away gifts and saying this, but so I'm going to contradict myself altogether. It's probably a good day never to use your phone, if you can get by with that. It's probably a good day not to check Facebook. It's probably a good time for you to completely rest. Now, you can watch the Super Bowl today, because I'm going to watch the Super Bowl today, right? But that's rest for me, and I can talk my way into that. I can rationalize all things. Lots of rationalizing going on with keeping the Sabbath day holy for sure. And I love it because, you know, well, work is therapeutic for me. I'm resting, and I don't get to work all the time. That's all good. God understands all that. Be sure that you're loving Him with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And if you can mow that yard with joy and worship on your heart, that's all good, I believe. But we are to have a Sabbath day. Every week, we're to have a Sabbath day. So that's the first four, okay? And then, in the conversation, the question, the second point of his question, he said, and this is found in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, then Jesus says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so that is the horizontal. That is the second six of the commandments. So honor your mother and father. Honor means you give them weight. Honor means they're important to you. You give them weight. You give them influence over you. If your mom and dad do not live for the Lord and they do not give you solid guidance, you still honor them. Now, you may not follow their examples and you may not follow their guidance, but you honor them as your mother and father. That's important for society. Important for society. So honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Well, Lee, you have said that you have violated every single one of the commands. And here we have, right after honor your mother and father, we have don't murder. Well, let me tell you what I'm referencing. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm not in prison. I've never been convicted of murder. I've never been accused of murder, physical, but I can't say the same about what Jesus is talking about here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, and most likely the phrase here means if you are even angry with someone without cause. So this is not righteous indignation. This is being angry with someone without being justified in the anger. You are subject to judgment. But I say if you are even angry with someone, verse 22, you are subject to judgment. And so I've committed murder. I've been angry with people in my life without a cause. I've been angry with people because they cut me off on the road. I'm guilty of murder. In this context, I'm guilty of murder. If you call someone raka, in the New Living Translation, it says, if you call someone an idiot, idiot, that's you, idiot. You know, you done that this week? Oh, come on. How many of y'all called somebody an idiot this week? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're like me. You're a murderer too. Have you called someone raka this week? To call someone raka means that you're calling them an idiot and you have utter contempt for them. They're worthless, worthless, no account people. Idiot. And boy, probably it's guttural. Idiot, idiot, idiot. They do the work wrong, idiot. They betrayed you, idiot. They cut you off on the highway, idiot. They insulted you, what an idiot. Don't insult me, I know what's going on. There's a lot of idiot going on in the world today, isn't there? A lot of calling. So that's what that means. It means that you have utter contempt for another person. And it says, and if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. There you go. So I've not murdered anyone physically, but I've murdered people by calling them an idiot with utter contempt. I've been angry at people in my life without any cause whatsoever. I've broken that one. And then you see about the adultery deal. How could I be a pastor, right? Because if you commit adultery as a pastor, usually you're digging a ditch somewhere. It says in verse 27, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus went far beyond the action. He went to where the action begins to develop in the heart. In the heart. I can't stand before you today and tell you that I've never lusted after another lady. Can't tell you that. I can't tell you. I can tell you that it's less frequent than it used to be as I get older, but that's the bottom line. That's the truth. So how can I be a pastor? How come I'm not in jail? Well, it says here, you shall not steal. The only thing I know for sure that I've stolen, I stole a Kool-Aid pack when I was about 6 years old, 7 years old, to fit in good with some guys who were stealing stuff. Boy, I felt horrible. I went home and my mom washed that Kool-Aid in my jean pocket and she said, what's all this? You know, got this blue, get Kool-Aid in your deal. And oh, I was wore out. They just wore me out. I mean, wore me out all the way back to the base, to the commissary, just wearing me out, man. But I probably stolen otherwise, cheated a little bit here and there from time to time. Cheated a little bit. A couple times I've realized I got paid too much and didn't catch it right away and didn't go back. I thought a dollar ain't going to hurt them none. It just eats me up and a couple days go by and I go back and say, and you gave me a dollar too much. Here you go. But stealing, bearing false witness. I've bared false witness. I've lied. Matter of fact, I'm a good liar. I really am. I know that probably most pastors that have any communicative abilities at all, and I got, you know, a little bit, man, they're good liars. They can lie good. They grew up lying, and God calls people that grew up lying because they can talk good. It's part of that deal. I'm an exaggerator. I've exaggerated stories. I've exaggerated stories probably with some of y'all from time to time, probably. Don't mean to. I think it's not as frequent as it was at one time. I'm here to tell you, I'm a broken, weak, sinful man. As I remember the Ten Commandments, I'm a broken, weak, sinful man because I can't stand here and tell you that I have kept even one of these Ten Commandments. You know, folks, when people say they don't go to church because it's full of people, hypocrites and self-righteous people, you know, that ought not to be the case. That should be a misunderstanding on their part because we're all broken, weak, sinful people. Some of us know it and some of us don't. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Don't want what is not yours. Man, I can't say that at all. I can't say that. I haven't coveted something this week. I don't draw direct thought about it, but I'm a coveter. I'm a coveter. I grew up with a group of guys, and we played ball in elementary together, and we went to the same schools and everything together. And all those guys have done pretty good. They really have. All the guys I went to junior high with, and we hung out together in high school, they've all done relatively good. But one guy has really done good. Financially, he hasn't loaned me a dollar, not one. He could loan me hundreds, and not he wouldn't even miss it. I don't know why he hadn't lent me some money here or there. We had a mowing business in the second grade, and I should have realized things back then because he would make all the deals, and I wouldn't handle any of the money, and I did all the mowing. That lets you know why he's done good today. He is CEO and president of oil company today. His name is Shrimp. His name is Shrimp to us, to all the people that work for him. His name is Mr. Edmondson. I've been with his group from time to time, and it's funny how they call him Mr. Edmondson, and they're very respectful to him. And we walk in and say, Shrimp, sit down and shut up. Let me tell you something here. A lot of fun with that. He has millions. He has millions. And his mom passed away 3 or 4 years ago, and I had not seen his new place outside of Houston. He's got a ranch out there, like 500 acres. Beautiful, beautiful land. And we pull up, and I'm going, oh, my, man, this is really uptown here. Big, nice house with a wraparound porch. I love that. That's totally cool. You can always get out of the sun. Nice pool. And below the pool, He's got a lake where they would let me go in, you know. And he's got a lake down there. And across the way, just green grass everywhere. And he's got the nicest Hereford cows you've ever seen. Beautiful. Beautiful. And he likes to sit on his back porch and look at his cows. In his barn, went through his barn before he got home. He had a couple tractors. He doesn't ever do it, but his people he hires to do it, bale hay for him and do work for him around the place. He had a one-ton Ford diesel truck. And it wasn't the XL one. It wasn't the XLT. It was that one called the Great Kingman, something like that. Big plush seats in it. And man, I'm looking at that. He had a lawnmower that's to die for. I'd love to have a lawnmower that I don't break at least twice a summer. That I could just get on and just, and there's nothing it can't run over. There's nothing it can't defeat. He had one of those. He never gets on it. I went in the shed. He had weed eaters and tools and everything, man. And he comes driving up in a big BMW, not the BMW 3. That's for the poor people. The BMW 9 or something. Big, long sucker. And I went over there and looked at it. And I said, this your car? He goes, he was kind of sheepish. Yeah, man, it's my car. Whoa! Can I go for a spin? He goes, yes, don't go fast. Just keep it under control. You can really run. He let me drive it around a little bit, and I came back, and, man, I'm just looking around, and I coveted. I sat down, and I thought, Lord,
I had a 2005 Corolla back then that had been hail twice. It had been smashed up. How come I can't have a car like this? How come I can't have a truck like this? How come I can't have a ranch like this? How come I can't have all this? Why did you give it to him? That's coveting. That's coveting. That's what it is. That's coveting. It took me a little bit. I had to sit there for a while and go, dude, chill here. You're just fine. But that's coveting. No gods before God, no idols made by us. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't want what is not yours. Now, is there anyone here that has not broken one of these commandments? We want to clap for you and praise you. Anyone at all? Is there anyone that's only broken two of them? How about three? I've only broken three. How about four? Now, if you've only broken four of these, that's pretty good. How about five, six, seven, eight? Anybody here only broke eight of these? How about nine? How about 10? How many of you have broken every one of these? Now, that's a majority of people. How many of you have only broken nine? You can raise your hand. Isn't that something? So when you remember the 10, what do you remember? You remember you can't keep any of them. We can't keep them. What does it say to us? We need a Savior. Who's the only person that can be the Savior? The one that hasn't committed, violated, broken any of them. Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. Remembering the Ten Commandments says we need a Savior. We need a Savior. The Ten Commandments for the Old Testament people said to them, they need a Savior. They need to believe in God's gift of salvation for them. What do we do here in the New Testament time, in this church living time? We believe in God's gift of salvation for us, Jesus, because we have not been able to not only keep all of the commandments, we've been unable to keep any of the commandments. We need a Savior. That's what's going on here. Isn't that an amazing thing that towards the end of the book of Malachi, and there's no further word from God for 400 years, he leaves them with, remember the Ten Commandments. Now, if you go and you just study Exodus chapter 20, what are you going to come home with? I can't do it. I can't do it. Every single day, I try to do it, and I just can't do it. This past week, 6 out of 10, I only kept 6 out of 10. The next week, he said, it was a good week. I only broke 3 this week that I can remember. Right? There's never going to be a week where you keep all 10 commandments. It's impossible in our flesh. It's impossible in our state. We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Remember the 10 commandments does one other thing for us. You know what it does for us? It helps us exalt Jesus. Man, so thankful for what he's done for us. So thankful for his gift to us. So thankful that, man, I can't keep the first 4 and I can't keep the second 6. Every now and then I keep a Sabbath day holy. Every now and then I don't bear false witness and I have good days. Every now and then I don't covet. But then the other day, old Joe comes into work and he's got a brand new truck. And before I knew it, I was coveting after that truck. How in the world did that boy afford that truck? I want a truck like that. Coveting. Coveting always gets us. So, have you been trusting in your efforts for salvation? 10 commandments. Remember, the 10 commandments says that's a foolish mistake because you can't keep them all. And if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all of them. Do you need Christ? Yes. Should we be every single day exalting Jesus for our salvation? Absolutely. Remembering the 10 pushes us to that place. So, look, folks, it's okay to admit we're broken, we're weak, we're sinful, because we are all like that. And when we recognize that we're broke, weak, and sinful, oh, how much better we can exalt our Jesus. Amen, because he's given us salvation, forgiveness of not being able to keep the Ten Commandments. So at the end of the story, end of this book here, we're almost through. We'll come back and look at a couple more pieces from verse 4 next week or the week after that. But he summarized and he says, remember the 10. Remember the 10 commandments. Remember what Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. It's for our benefit. It shows us that we are in desperate need of what God has given us in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, open up our hearts and minds to remembering the 10. Help us, Lord, every day not to lose sight of what you have done for us. We're so thankful for our salvation, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, that although we are unable to keep any of the commandments, Lord, we are truly broken, weak, sinful people, Lord. You have forgiven us. You have reconciled us to be right with you. We are justified, Lord. And as Philip read a while ago in Colossians, we are without fault because not what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. So we exalt Jesus today. We exalt Jesus. We're thankful for Jesus for dying for us, for being the lamb that was slain. And you paid the price and you encountered judgment that we should encounter. And you went on that cross and you experienced pain for us. Because we are broken, we are sinful, we are weak, and you loved us. As you said in Romans, Lord, when we were completely, absolutely helpless, you demonstrated how much you love us. That while we were broken, sinful, weak people, sinners, Jesus died for us. We're thankful for what we have in you, Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forth.